Our first reading touches on a particular aspect of human interaction that is very important, but also, I would say, much misunderstood or overlooked in our day. Finding a worthy wife, I'd say finding a worthy spouse, husband, wife, is what anyone who aspires to be married is looking for. They're looking for a spouse that they can love and share their heart with. Catholicism hopes for much more, even, in a potential spouse. Someone who shares the same faith, perhaps, is helpful, if that's the case, so that life's ultimate goals are the same. Someone who is virtuous and has developed in the spiritual life in some degree. Because at the end of the day, marriage is a vocation. It's a path by which we are to serve God and come to know God more fully. If we are yoked with someone who is not seeing or having the same experience of life in the same way, it makes it much more difficult to pursue the ultimate and eternal goods which we are meant to focus on while we are here in this life. Now, of course, we all know people, there are people in our own church here, who are exceptions. Many people have been happily married and pursue life and holiness in marriages with a non-Catholic or even a non-Christian. But it presents a challenge where we are not always initially evident of the challenges that face us otherwise. And it's unfortunate that we seem less interested in finding a husband or wife of virtue. And often the way we search for a spouse is portrayed in film or culture sort of as a search for a body that I'm attracted to rather than a person that I can pursue eternal life with. In the gospel, we see the Lord has given us each different talents. Each is given different talents and gifts according to their ability and what God is asking that person to do and accomplish in their life. These talents encompass all parts of our lives. They take into account our whole person, our personalities, our characteristics, encompassing things like physical, mental, emotional, intellectual parts of us. We should strive to use these talents and to develop them. And in doing so, our vocation, whatever it may be, will become clear, and we will live out in a beautiful way that glorifies God, this call that we have. Now, God knows our hearts. He knows our desires. He knows everything about us. If we understand our talents as God-given, this will help us to use them in the proper way, according to His plan, rather than seeing them as something that I've developed or something that I have, but rather seeing this as a gift that I'm meant to share. We want to be appreciated and praised and loved for who we are. That's just, it's part of who we are as persons. That is written into our souls. We don't want to be posing as someone that we aren't. We all fear, I think, loneliness or separation from love. We want friendship which is deep and meaningful. We want to be needed and valued. Again, this is written into our souls. If we are if I were to put a name on this, these fears or these things that I'm afraid that will happen to me, things that maybe I'm afraid that will never occur or things that I'm afraid that will occur, I would say it seems a pretty good description of what hell is. Isolation, separation from love, a life of regrets, unfulfilled hopes. Often it is our fears that lead us to act in ways which actually keep us from attaining what we want, what we really desire, what will give us true joy. Notice the response from the third servant in the gospel today. He says to the master, when the master comes back, "I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant and gathering where you did not scatter. So out of fear, I went off and buried your talent in the ground." When we act out of fear, our actions and our motives get distorted. When we feel we aren't likable or lovable or beloved as we are, then we try to become someone else. Perhaps we've had that experience in our lives at some stage. Hopefully we grow out of it or we move past it, but not always. That's not always the case. Sometimes we get stuck in those kinds of situations. But in doing so, by putting on this disguise of who I am, we often frustrate our own desires, because then even if we encounter a love, like someone is attracted to us or they love us for some aspect of who we are, because we are disguising who we are, They're not seeing the whole person. They're not seeing who we really are. And so we kind of get stuck in this way of living. In distorting ourselves, we frustrate the cooperation with God's plan for us. I think instead we're called to trust that the Lord has created you for good, and that if you are faithful in seeking what the Lord wills in your life, it will bring you fulfillment and purpose. Don't get tricked into using your own talents or showing your body even, I'd say that to the young people especially, in ways that are not meant to be done. Rather, save your talents and your body for who it's meant to be given to, and you will be protected. If you attract someone merely by your body, or you try to find a partner in life or friendship or loved one based on your body or your talents alone, it will in the end be dysfunctional. Particularly if you distort your abilities, your body, in such a way as to project an image of someone else, someone who you are not. Because you're asking people to love a part of you, or not the whole thing, but just this aspect of you. And we know this, right? When we do this, we understand this to some degree. And so, in a sense, we are dissatisfied because I'm not really loved for who I really am, but I'm rather trying to project this image of who I am and fear that if they really knew who I was, I would not be lovable. We have reversed, in a sense, the proper order of how we should measure ourselves. We look for affirmation from the world that holds up an impossible image, oftentimes, of what it means to be a man or a woman, and which measures people in distorted values. Be satisfied with how God sees you. Attempt to please Him alone, and He will lead you into that vocation which you are called, and the life which will fulfill you. Have the courage to trust that when you rest in the reality that you are beloved by the Lord, He will allow you to find the spouse who will cherish you on the same grounds, or perhaps lead you to a different vocation. Don't use your talents in an ungodly way or throw them away for some earthly or temporary apparent good. The body can be used to seduce. We can develop our talents in a way to deceive, to attract. But if we act in this way, then others will love and be attracted to only the self we have projected, not to who we really are. And thus we will have to play this part in this invented life that we have made, rather than becoming who God calls us to be. Embrace that, what God calls you to be, and that will give you joy, confidence, and help you pursue the eternal life with whomever the Lord brings into your life, whatever kind of relationships He calls you into. So what do we do if we feel like we have made a mistake? Perhaps we have already entrusted ourselves or made some kind of commitment based on trickery, seduction, or a false self. Well then, endeavor to change course and present who you truly are. And allow Christ to lead you in this. Pray for the grace of conversion for yourself and for a spouse if you have one. Know that no relationship is perfect. I think if we look around the world, we can see that. We live in a broken world. We need a lot of grace to overcome our own foibles. The imperfections we see in ourselves, or a spouse, or a friend, are an opportunity to have our love grow and mature. When we approach each other with this vulnerability, with a willingness to say, I'm not perfect, I know you're not perfect, but we're in this together. We have that vulnerability, that understanding, that awareness of our own insecurities and those of others. We can come to a deeper Christ-like love, a love that sees into the depths of who we are as human beings. Rather than spending our lives creating an image of who we are not and spending our talents only on ourselves, God invites us into a life focused on the eternal perspective, which we can share with those who we journey with. So no matter where you find yourselves in this process of living, whatever vocation you find yourself in, whether you are hoping to find a spouse someday, whether you're happily married or even unhappily married perhaps, or single or divorced or any other category that's out there, I would encourage you to ask Our Lady for help. Come to know her. Seek her intercession. And trust your current situation to her. And entrust your own dignity and life to her. She is a powerful ally in living out our God-given vocation. Trust that she will lead you to her Son, and that together they will guide you to what your desires seek. Then we too can hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come share your Master's joy." I'd like to conclude with invoking our Mother's intercession this evening. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.